Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 28th, 2023. Today is Tuesday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, the person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Well, that's quite the story. Anyone familiar with the story of the covenant people in the wilderness knows that they apparently spent plenty of time complaining. So the fact they're unhappy about their situation is not anything particularly new. To be fair to them, by this time they had been eating that manna stuff every day for quite some time. No wonder they detested it. That said, the fact that God deploys poisonous snakes to deal with the people's complaining seems an outsized and unduly wrathful response. Had God grown as weary of them as they had grown weary of God and Moses? We don't know how long the infestation of snakes went on, but enough of the Israelites died that the people cried out to Moses for God's mercy. And then the strange story takes an even stranger turn. God instructs Moses to make a serpent statue and to fix it to a pole. Huh? Granted, the bronze serpent isn't exactly an idol, but it's still weird that the Lord would direct the making of such an object. After all, the people's tendency to worship these sorts of things had already been established. Anybody remember the golden calf? I read one commentator on this story who theorized that the bronze serpent on the pole was meant to remind the people of the power that their God had not only to cause suffering, pain, and death, but also to bring healing, wholeness, and life. I wasn't totally convinced of that interpretation. So I went searching around on the internet and found a Jewish website that tried its hand at interpreting the story. And so this is some of what I read there. The rabbinic message is that the bronze serpent is meant to be understood as a symbol for the one God and a way for the individual to be redirected toward God, the source of healing. The symbol is a reminder, says the commentary, of where the true power lies. In the historic commentary on Jewish texts called the Mishnah, there's a note there that said, "When the people looked up and gave their hearts to their heavenly Father, they were healed." Well, it's still a strange story, and so I'm going to just have to leave it be for today. But here's some other interesting things to consider. According to the Bible, following its original use, the staff with the snake eventually found a home in the tabernacle. This was the portable tent of meeting and worship that accompanied the Israelites in their 40-year journey around the wilderness, and was a site of worship even after they wound up in the Promised Land. Later, the staff with the serpent winds up mounted in the temple itself in Jerusalem, where it remained, according to the Bible, until the reign of Hezekiah in the 8th century BCE. Hezekiah had it destroyed because it had, unsurprisingly, become an object of idolatry. Of course, the icon of a serpent entwined around a staff is still familiar to us, even if we didn't know this biblical story. The staff of Asclepius, the Greek god of medicine, is the symbol of our American Medical Association. The healing powers associated with this Greek god's staff and the Israelites' bronze serpent, well, that may imply a relationship between the two symbols. And this is probably one of those mysteries of antiquity that will never be solved. One thing is certain, however, there is a resonance of imagery between the serpent on the pole and Jesus on the cross. In fact, Jesus himself predicts his death by drawing a direct comparison. In his conversation with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up." And then in the 12th chapter of John, Jesus says of his own death, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." As we continue to make our way through these waning days of Lent, we are already beginning to contemplate the horror of Jesus' crucifixion, which the church will commemorate again on Good Friday. To look upon that scene, even if only through the words of Scripture, the liturgy, and the eyes of our imagination, is a glimpse into something that continues to defy our sensibilities. I know plenty of people prefer not to see a crucifix. They often say things like, "Jesus is risen from the dead, he isn't still on the cross." And in the strictest theological sense, they are correct. But I think we hurry past the crucifixion to our own detriment. We need to ponder Christ on the cross, if only to be reminded that the poison of sin, so rampant in this world, exacted a cost to God's own Son. The glory of Easter comes to us through the pain and agony of Jesus, who stretched out his arms of love on the hard wood of the cross so that everyone, including you and me, may come within the reach of his saving embrace. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the incarnate Word, you have caused us to be born anew of an imperishable and eternal seed. Look with compassion upon those who are being prepared for holy baptism, and grant that they may be built as living stones into a spiritual temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.